What can we learn from our Lutheran forefathers on how to face the challenges of a culture openly hostile to Christianity? Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has written a column for the Latest Issues Etc. journal titled For Such a Time as This. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You'll also find Pastor Will Whedon's article on the monthly Psalter, the free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. We've talked quite a bit about Muslim immigration into Western Europe. A lot of that immigration is into Germany. Well, there's a headline in Deutsche Welle, six facts you didn't know about mosques in Germany. And one of them isn't even listed as one of the six facts I didn't know, but it's remarkable. And that is, there are twice as many mosques in Germany as there are in the United States. Why are Germans fascinated with Islam? Welcome back to Issues Etc. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is going to join us. We're going to talk about Islam in Germany. He's a native of Germany, former religion editor for United Press International, senior distinguished fellow for 1517, and author of several books, including Urchin at War, The Tale of a Leipzig Rascal and His Lutheran Granny Under Bombs in Nazi Germany. Uwe, welcome back.
Thank you.
You say that Germany has always been intrigued with Islam. Why?
Well, not always. But it's been intrigued with Islam since the early 19th century, late 18th century. And probably one of the most important reasons for that was a book by Germany's most important poet called the West Eastern Divan that was based on the poetry of a 14th century Persian called Hafez, H-A-F-E-Z. And it's a very beautiful text. And Goethe fell in love with it and wrote this West Eastern Divan, which was then parts of which were set to music by important German composers such as Robert Schumann, Felix Mendelssohn, Hugo Wolf, Richard Strauss, and others. This is not actually in praise of the Islam. It's actually more an admiration of Oriental culture, it's particularly Persian culture. And this goes even further back because there have been very intensive exchanges of views between Germany and Persia well before that. There are very old German-Persian societies, medical societies, legal societies, etc., going back. It's actually more in that direction. But there is a mosque in Berlin that is named after Goethe. Mind you, that's a very old mosque. I think the founder is under a fatwa, under a death threat. It's a woman. And this is where women preach and where homosexuals can attend and all that sort of stuff. But it has to do with Goethe. Not Charles, that Goethe himself was a Muslim. I mean, he couldn't have been. He far too much loved German white wine, especially the wine from the Würzburg region. And he obviously loved women to an extent that is more than permissible under the Quran. But Goethe had studied the Quran very intensively and has developed this fascination with this fabulous Persian poet, Hafez.
When was the first mosque built in Germany, and what can you tell us about it?
Well, the first mosque in Germany was built in 1915, just outside Berlin, actually in a POW camp for soldiers, captured soldiers, Muslim soldiers coming from the United Kingdom and France, who were colonies in Muslim countries. And that was the first time this mosque was built. It is now destroyed, and there's another, now the oldest mosque is in Berlin, Wilmersdorf. It goes back, I think, to 1920 or something like that. But the interesting thing about the first mosque was that it was used by Imperial Germany, that's the Kaiser's Germany, to train actually Islamists, terrorists, to act against Christian rulers, the British and the French.
There are more than twice as many mosques in Germany than in the U.S. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't. Look, we have about 5 million Muslims in Germany. Most of them, many of them at least, are Turks. The Turks, the DTIP, which is their Turkish state religious authorities, train their clerics. They finance the construction of these mosques. Others are financed by Saudi Arabia, but for the most part, they are Muslim, Turkish financed. And they have a considerable political influence. I mean, crazily, in Germany, Turks with German nationality have dual nationality. I'm not allowed to have a German nationality and an American nationality. So I didn't become an American simply because I didn't want to lose my German citizen, or it would be very difficult to obtain the right to have a second citizenship. But they can be both, and they elect. They vote in Persia, in Turkey, sorry, and of course support Erdogan very heavily. And in fact, I think Erdogan might actually owe his power to a large degree to the Turks in Germany.
How visible are the mosques in Germany compared to churches?
Oh, most of them are invisible. Most of them have no minarets. Most of them, you can't recognize them from the outside. They're bland buildings, like so many ugly post-war buildings that were destructed because after the bombing of German cities, they had to build, raise new structures fast, including these things. You can't see them. There is, however, just a huge mosque in Cologne, which I don't know whether they've started muezzins chanting, muezzin calls to prayer, which you don't normally have in German cities, but it's starting now, or has, will be starting soon. Cologne has a pretty demented lady mayor who is very sympathetic towards Islam and allows everything, including not realizing that many passages of the Quran, especially the one that allows or demands physical punishment, corporal punishment for certain offenses, which violates the German constitution. I mean, you have this, you know, Germans do have behaved rather strangely lately, as you know.
What is a mosque association there in Germany, and why are they controversial?
Well, they're controversial primarily, especially this the particular one I was referring to, which is the largest, because it's financed by Turkey. It's an extension of Turkish politics. The Turks pay for the education, the theological education of their imams, and they influence, they take a heavy influence on the politics of their congregants, especially in voting both in Germany and in Turkey. That's the most important thing. And of course, the Muslims, for the most part, or a large part, attend mosque, you know, and that's the thing. Unlike Christians who hardly ever go to church.
Why have so many Muslims immigrated to Germany?
Originally, they immigrated, they were invited because Germany was reconstructing itself from the war, needed workers. So, I mean, at first they imported Italian workers who integrated very, very easily. It's a totally different kettle of fish. They're Christians. And others, Spaniards, but Italians mainly. And then the next were the Turks. And they were the sort of basis of the Muslim immigration. And then, of course, you had the immigration, as you remember, in 2015 from Syria. Then you had the illegal immigration, and they never get really expelled, or very rarely, from North Africa. They usually come via France, being ex-colonies. One of the culprits in one of the worst terrorist attack in Berlin at the Christmas market came from Tunisia, for example. So you had those. And Germany is rather accessible, which is not to say that all these immigrants that come to Germany, for example, the Syrians, that they are all terrorists or that they are unwelcome. Some work very hard, integrate well. My bank manager, a very lovely woman in Germany, is a Muslim. She speaks flawless German and is very efficient and has a good education. It's that sort of what is the problem in Germany is that a large amount of, by the way, there's a whole district of Berlin that actually are entirely Muslim by now. And many of those don't bother to learn German. There are schools, classes where nobody speaks German or makes an effort to speak German. No German kids are in there. And the Muslims demand that if there are any Christian or Jewish children, they have to be enter the building from a separate door. I mean, it's, to that extent, it's absolutely crazy.
What kind of religious liberty does Germany have?
Well, evidently full of religious liberty. I mean, it's by constitution, which is fine. It is simply that sloppiness, sloppy thinking on the part of authorities, particularly in Berlin, gives them liberties that violate the constitution. This is very, very strange, all this. And of course, they are not Christians either, because they have long, these civil servants and politicians, they might have long left the church. So they think it's all the same and what the hell. It's incredible. I mean, converts, I hope we'll get to this point, converts from Islam to Germany are often being expelled to their homeland, like, for example, Persia, and which, of course, could mean death for them, simply because the judges in Berlin is a nightmare. But judges don't understand anything, they don't actually care. They don't see a difference between Christianity and Islam. So it's quite depressing. But there are others, and that is very, very important, that convert to Christianity, especially Persians, in huge numbers. I mean, it is always overlooked in this country to what extent Muslims, particularly Persian Muslims, convert to Christianity. A friend of mine, whom you also know, is the Reverend Christian Teves. He's a German and an American citizen, studied at Concordia St. Louis, used to be in the German Navy, and then finally wound up in the ministry. And he's been now sent to Germany to help the German Independent Lutheran Church in handling this mass of Muslim converts. And within a year, he had to learn Farsi to be able to conduct Farsi language, Persian language church services. He's now baptizing Muslims, former Muslims. It's very exciting. We talk about this very often on the phone, and you might well want to talk to him about what his experiences are. Absolutely fascinating. And this also connects with the mass conversion movement in Persia itself, especially now with all these demonstrations. There is a suspicion that 80% of all Persian women are either converts or on their way to conversion. Inside Persia, in the same sense, more even in Germany.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. We're talking about Islam in Germany. How well are German Muslims assimilated into German society? We'll answer that question next. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs faithful Lutheran laymen, commissioned ministers, and pastors to serve on its boards, commissions, and agencies. Nominations are open for the boards of regents at our Concordia universities and seminaries, the LCMS Board of Directors, the Office of National and International Mission, the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, Concordia Publishing House, and the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs you. issuesetc.org/nominations.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Greetings and God's blessings from Faith Lutheran Church and Preschool in Marinette, Wisconsin. It is our sincere hope and prayer that you would be edified by God's word as we gather together to receive his gifts in the historic liturgy of the church. Join us Sundays for divine service at 9 a.m. at the corner of County Road T and Irving Street, just a block south of the roundabout here in Marinette. You can contact us at 715-735-6506 on Facebook or at our website, www.faithmarinette.org.
The vast array of Christian denominations can seem overwhelming. Well, if you've ever wondered what other church bodies teach, the Lutheran Witness is here to help. In the October issue of the Lutheran Witness, we take up and study 11 other Christian denominations, a brief survey of their history, key teachings, confessional documents, and then compare that with Lutheran doctrine. Visit witness.lcms.org to learn more, or visit cph.org/witness to subscribe. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Grace Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Eagle, Nebraska. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Peace Lutheran, Filer, Idaho. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Sycamore, Illinois. St. Peter Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. And Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. In your baptism, Jesus told you the reason you were born, in order that you could become God's own child, a precious and miraculous union of body and soul, redeemed by his blood. That's an excerpt from Confessing Jesus, the Heart of Being a Lutheran. It's the Issues Etc. book of the month for October. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Give them a call and order it, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, Confessing Jesus, the Heart of Being a Lutheran. We're talking about Islam in Germany. Dr. Uwe C. Minetto is our guest. He's a native of Germany and author of several books, including Urchin at War, The Tale of a Leipzig Rascal, and His Lutheran Granny Under Bombs in Nazi Germany. Uwe, are German Muslims assimilated into German society well?
Some are, some aren't. I mean, the majority, yes, you have wonderful, you have people, you have Muslims who integrate, they become television moderators of big television shows. You have Muslims and others, Buddhists and what have you, in the Bundestag and the federal parliament. There are many people that you run into that speak often more refined German than many Germans, which angers me always. The Germans not speaking German always make me very angry, but that's another thing. And some of these Muslim, former Muslim elites speak Germany perfectly and are play an interesting role in German politics and German literature and other things. But the majority are not of that persuasion. The majority have never integrated, and they are now for a third, or fourth generation in Germany, and still they will speak German well. There is no way to integrate them. There is no work for them, because they don't learn the language, they don't study, and especially in Berlin, which is particularly dramatic. And I don't know how the country can finance all this, because they all depend on the taxpayer.
Are there concerns about national security or terrorism connected to mosques in Germany?
Yes, there are concerns, but certain mosques, not all, it depends on what, certain mosques are under supervision by the internal intelligence service in Germany. And, of course, sometimes you read about trials of terrorists or potential terrorists trained in mosque communities. That's not general because given the number of between 2,370 and 2,700 mosques in Germany, it might be a small minority, but they are there, especially in the former industrial heartland of Germany, the Ruhr district. There are many of those. And, of course, they are very often staffed by illegal immigrants. They're still, you get their French citizenship, they're say for Algerians or whatever, who have French citizenships, therefore they can move anywhere in the country. They are dangerous, these guys. Not all of them. You have to be very careful there, but many of them are.
How does Muslim immigration present an opportunity for German Lutherans to bear witness to Christ?
Well, the best example is what I already mentioned. It's the immigration of Muslims converting Persian and Farsi speakers, Persians and Afghans, who convert en masse to mainly Lutheran Christianity, because the whole process started 20 years ago or more by a South African pastor in Leipzig, General Trinity Lutheran Church. And we've now reached a point that those Persians who became Christians because when they were in refugee camps, this pastor got a degree to teach German as a foreign language as a second language to Persians. And they came in, and what did he use? He used Luther's translation of the Bible as textbook. And this is how it actually started, and then it spread all over the country, especially Berlin, and you've already talked to Pastor Gottfried Martens in Berlin, who probably by now has personally baptized between 1,500 and 2,000 Muslims. But in Leipzig, one of the most interesting things is that these converts to Christianity, Persian converts to Christianity, now do a mission among German working class or sub-working class kids who never heard under communism anything about Christ, anything about the church, didn't know what the church was all about. These Persians are now helping, educating these kids, looking after them. And it's quite impressive. So that is one thing. Then there's another thing. It's not all immigrants, of course, from these countries are Germans. We have an enormous, are Muslims. We have an enormous amount of immigrants. We have about 5 million Orthodox immigrants, including Oriental Orthodox, Copts from Egypt and others. And these people are practicing Christians, and they again have an influence on the general population. I mean, they are now second, third generation. They go to church, they are Germans, but they are, of course, Orthodox Christians, and therefore have an influence. As I said, so many of the Persian immigrants and Afghan immigrants now Lutherans, because the thrust of conversion movement came from the Lutheran Church, but the others are Orthodox. And again, it says, so that it might well be God's long-term entrapment policy, sending all these Muslims to Germany, and the Christians all run away, and the Muslims, the ex-Muslims, convert Germany back to a Christian country. I'm speculating here. One should never speculate, of course, on theological matters, but I wouldn't be surprised if I came back or looked down at this world 300 years from now that Christianity has survived because of the immigration of ex-Muslims or of Muslims who converted to Christianity in Germany.
Before we let you go, I wanted to get your thoughts on the energy crisis there in Germany.
Yes, so if I listen to myself, they're the same thoughts as everybody else, as we're very worried. If I may go through a little bit of the background. We have had in Germany since Angela Merkel and even your predecessor, and now we had dreamers who thought they could trust Russia and therefore could rely on Russia to supply us with as much gas as we needed. Now, of course, we find out that that they're using, the Russians are using gas as a tool in a European war. So this goes without saying. I think the Germans will have a very, very cold winter. There is not enough gas there. All right, as we speak, they are negotiating in Prague, the Europeans, how to get over this crisis. Norway will be one of the main suppliers. But again, because of the streamers, it's totally irrational that Angela Merkel stopped all the nuclear reactors in Germany, or ordered the stoppage of the nuclear reactors, and now there are only three left, and two of them, the last two, one will be held on standby till April, and then they should be stopped. And there is no, for the moment, there is no way we can predict how this will end and how they want to keep their apartments warm, how they will keep industry running, industry, shops, all sorts of things. I mean, how the economy can continue without energy. There is no energy. So this has to be done in a pan-European way, but they're not acting rationally now, the other Europeans. Poland is using anti-Germanism as a tool in the election campaign for next year. So they said, well, we're not going to give them anything. We're not going to help them. They are the enemy. They owe us 1.3 trillion euros restitution for World War II without, by the way, ever mentioning the huge slabs of land that they got after the war, including major cities like Stettin, Danzig, and Breslau. This is not, so there is a chaos on that side, at least from the Eastern European and German dreamers. I hope this is going to change. I hope that this, I mean, the people are becoming, are waking up to this. The politicians are sloppy. We have terrible, throughout Europe, we have only mediocre leaders. Being a guest in this country, I'm not going to discuss your politics here, but I tell you, we have only mediocre people, and in a time when the whole world can collapse as a result of a very aggressive enemy in Russia, a massive, massive energy crisis.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is a native of Germany. He's former religion editor for United Press International, senior distinguished fellow for 1517, and author of several books, including Urchin at War, The Tale of a Leipzig Rascal and His Lutheran Granny Under Bombs in Nazi Germany. You can purchase this book on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Uwe, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Todd.
Carol Tobias joins us next. She's president of National Right to Life. We will talk about the White House's new measures to protect abortion access.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we conclude 1 Thessalonians with at peace, the will of God, benediction, and closing. Then we move into 2 Thessalonians with greeting and thanksgiving and judgment at Christ's appearing. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod cares deeply for those who protect our nation. Are you or a loved one currently serving? Ministry to the Armed Forces would like to help. We provide devotional literature to encourage faith. Send your mailing address to lcmschaps@lcms.org or call us at 314-996-1337. Those in uniform are comforted with Psalm 28. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and He helps me.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Concordia University Chicago invites all high school students to attend the annual Careers for Christ weekend in person on our beautiful campus in River Forest. Careers for Christ is October 28th to 30th. You'll have the opportunity to learn about professional church vocations while having fun with CUC staff, faculty, and students. For more information, visit cuchicago.edu/C4C. cuchicago.edu/C4C.
How does Jesus define the Christian's identity? Find out in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Confessing Jesus, the Heart of Being a Lutheran. This new book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or look for Confessing Jesus at our website, issuesetc.org. Confessing Jesus, the Heart of Being a Lutheran, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org.